ich finde, ich brauche echt ein neues Handy.
Nimm doch meins. Ist doch mega.
Ja, mega alt.
Endlich ein Traumhandy statt Papas altem. Hol dir jetzt zum Beispiel das Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra zum Toppreis. Mit dem Jugendplus-Bonus für alle bis 27. Details auf 3.at/Jugend. Freiheit hoch 3.
This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. Are we serious title contenders yet? What were you doing when you were 16? Was Boydie's header the most rehearsed-looking goal you've ever seen? And was Evan Caffrey the calmest man on this island last night? We can answer a couple of those questions to hopefully answer them with me. Ben, how are you?
Hello, Duty. How are you getting on?
I'm absolutely brilliant today, Ben. Although I wasn't there in the flesh last night for that... what would we call it? Chaotic scene in the 96th minute.
Oh, it was absolute madness. Myself and Reggie had gone down, you know, down beside the shop to get on to the pitch that way and walk around for full time. And as soon as the ball hit the net, we just start shaking. We didn't know what to do. And I was like, get the camera quick.
It was
something.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Watching Shell's games either online, at home, not in person, is a horrendous experience.
Oh, it's grim, especially in away game.
Oh, it's just horrific. So, so bad. I nearly gave my dad's dog a heart attack celebrating the first goal. I think I did give it the heart attack when we scored the winner. It was magic. It was absolute magic. We have to start there, don't we? I mean, I know, look, Watford game was on Friday, a 1-0 win, a very, very important win, just as important as the win last night. But there was something quite special about last night's 2-1 win against Pats. Give me a general, as you put it to the great Mark Coyle in the post-match interview, Ben. How do you assess that one?
Yeah, it's just magic. It's the kind of win that you want. Like, they're so rare, and what's rare is wonderful. And the manager said it a few times last year. It's what he wanted. He wanted a 90th minute winner. Do you remember that conversation?
Yep, I do indeed.
He said that once or twice. Like, I'd love a big 90th minute winner, and I think we always seem to do it against Pats. You kind of feel bad, but then you remember it. They're awful, so who cares? It's magic. It's like, it's pure euphoria. You grab anything and everything around you and you just scream. Like, that's it, really.
Yeah, I have to say, when the winner hit the net and Evan Caffrey went wheeling away celebrating, I was so jealous. So unbelievably jealous. Because 30 seconds before that, I was going, right, it's not probably going to be the best mood after this because we should have won the game, blah, blah, blah. And then that goes in. Oof, it was just... And look, we'll get to it in a little while, but it felt like a very, very, very big goal. A late winner in a Dublin derby, always a big goal, of course, regardless of the background to it. But for some reason, it just felt like... a big, big, big moment. Time will tell whether it was as big or not. But when I seen the starting lineup, Ben, yesterday, I kind of went...
Scratching my head as well.
Yeah, it was...
a head scratcher.
yeah, it's getting to that point now where you don't really know what's going to happen. There was a good listener question we'll come to later on, but surrounding team selection and stuff like that. I actually thought the biggest surprise on the team sheet was no Evan Caffrey.
Yeah.
After his performance coming on Friday against Waterford, were you the same?
Definitely. I thought when he came on against Waterford, he was really, really strong. I think Drogheda was probably another one. I think it's just, you kind of expect, I expected him. I think most people probably would, no?
I would have thought so, especially because, like, the managers had no qualms earlier in the season of, you know, if somebody comes on, has an impact off the bench, they generally are starting. But, like, you tactically just don't know what's going to come. You don't know what they're going to do. And I'm sure it's a nightmare for opposition managers as well, because you think you probably have it figured out and probably say, right, like the manager mentioned it in his post-match there with Darren, that like straight away when our game finished, he was looking at the Rovers game to see who played, who didn't play, who came on, how long players were playing. So I would have thought if you were Stephen Kenny and you were watching our game from Friday, you'd be saying, right, Evan Caffrey will definitely play.
Yeah, because it's one of those, like, it's consistency. So it's two or three good performances in a row, you think he's straight in. And when I saw the team sheet, I was like, that's a bit of a strange one. And definitely John O'Sullivan, I thought, was one that probably, look, he deserved it. I think he's played really well when he has been called on, but I just didn't expect to see him in the starting lineup.
I thought he was going to start on Friday, to be honest. As that kind of extra body in midfield, but like it's so hard to pick a team. The shape is kind of settling down a little bit more now, I think. We're kind of in that, it's kind of like a 4-3-3 type, or like it changes with the ball, without the ball, but I always think of it as a 4-3-3. Like, anyone can slot in anywhere, and I know people are saying, it was mentioned, like, obviously watched the game with Virgin, and they're talking about Vinny Perth, the grimmest co-commentator on the planet, was talking about, did Shells have enough depth in their squad to be able to compete? Personnel-wise, we mightn't have as deep a squad as maybe Derry or Rovers, but we have a lot of bodies that can play in a lot of positions.
Yep.
And sometimes that can be enough. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a personnel change. Sometimes a shape change can be enough to not have somebody working as hard and be able to maybe rest the legs a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's something we kind of touched on in the previews at the start of the season. Like, look, I don't think anyone's ever going to have a squad that can compete with the depth of, a Rovers. Like, they just have two or three in every position and they have the budget to back that. And I think, as you said, it's all about adaptability. Like, you have someone like an Evan Caffrey coming on who can play in the 10, the 6, the 8. He was a false 9 as well for some parts of last season. Like, he's adaptable. And a change in shape could suit us against different teams. And the depth is there in a way, just not in maybe the traditional sense.
Just on Evan Caffrey, I need to get this off my conscience. Now, I haven't been sure of Evan Caffrey the last kind of, whatever it's been, like season and a half, say. I've always been kind of looking at him going, what's he kind of adding? What's the, you know, it's like straight away, I think of Mark Hoyle, I think like how tenacious he is winning the ball back, rarely gives the ball away. Like, really? JJ, so good for, you know, keeping the ball, keeping the team ticking over, keeping us patient. And I always just kind of looked at Evan and thought, what, like, where, what's his role? Like, what does he, where does he fit? Is he a 10? Is he, like, would it be better sitting deeper? I think, to be fair to Evan, he's not a false 9. Everyone probably seeing that. But I've been so pleasantly surprised with him the last few weeks. Now, the other part of it is, as the manager said, like, he had a very serious operation in the off season, and as far as I'm aware, he was carrying that injury last year. Like, it probably needed to be done earlier, but I think he hung out until the off season. Probably says an awful lot about his character as well. But he's just so well rounded. He can do everything. I think he's a little bit of everyone from that area. And sometimes it's easy, like, you can be left out because you don't have, say, one particular attribute. Like with the likes of a Coiler, like, he's a must play on Friday just for his energy levels. And that's the same, like, when you play Galway, Boydie is probably a must play because, you know, you're going to be in that physical kind of battle. And whereas I think Evan can kind of do everything, which doesn't always go in your favour, but last three games he's been fantastic. I'd be fairly sure he'll start on Friday against Rovers, but has he surprised you? Is it, am I being a little bit harsh on him there from last season and the start of this one?
No, I think that's probably fair. But like, as you said, he's coming off an injury. He's coming off an operation. So maybe we just hadn't seen the best and he'd been playing through bits. And if this is the best of Evan Caffrey, then long may it continue, because his consistency and his energy that he brings to the midfield has been incredible. He does a lot of running. He presses well. I think he's very composed. Like, anyone could have just threw their boot at that. I think people are neglecting the finish a little bit.
Yes.
Because to take that ball into your stride, switch it onto what I think is his weaker foot.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it, but like, that is serious bottle. Especially like in the 96th minute, you think, just hit at the goal, hope for it, it bounces out or it bounces in. No, I'm taking on this foot, I'm placing it, I'm scoring here. It's incredible.
They were Sergio Aguero levels of composure, and I hate comparing any games to England, but that goal he scored to win in the league, where he takes the extra touch, does not, a player in the world I don't think would have taken that extra touch. The same, and I wouldn't mind, we have a habit of maybe not getting shots off enough, and when he threw him back inside, I can't actually say what I called him. But and even from the TV angle, you couldn't actually see because Boydie was in the way, so you couldn't, the ball just kind of disappeared. You don't really see it hit the net, but then when you see the reaction of the crowd, I mean, Jesus, it was real modern football thing of limbs, but geez, you won't find better limbs than them.
I was just like, it's what it's all about, really. Like, that is just, that's what you get out of bed for in the morning. Like, that is football. If you're a football fan, that is what you want to see. Like, that is what you want from your club. You want them big occasions. You want the memories. Like, there's probably kids in that stand that experience that, and they'll carry it for 10, 15 years.
Oh, 100%. Well, like, I do that. When I see in those celebrations, the first thing I thought of was a goal in, I think it was 2008. Down in Limerick, Dave Cassidy scored a last minute winner, and Fred Davis, the goalkeeping coach, is always my lasting memory because he jumps on top of the huddle, and it was in the opening for what was it called? Was it Shell's TV maybe at the time? But there are goals and celebrations that just stick out in your mind. Another one for me was in that stand when they had the roof on it and we scored the penalty in the cup semi-final, and the flare went off and nearly killed everyone in the stand. And but you're right, like, that is a moment. And on paper, you'd look at it and say, oh, yeah, you know, like, it's a 2-1 win against a struggling Pats team. But by all accounts, they played very well in Kenny's first game in charge. They played okay yesterday, I would have said. But we were by far the better team. I thought we were well in control of the game.
Like, you see online that they're like, oh, maybe a point would have been fair. I actually didn't. Like, I wouldn't have. Like, obviously, look, you're happy picking up points. But I think we were deserving of the 3 points. Definitely, I think we were by far the better side. I think we dominated possession for large spells of the game. I didn't think they were particularly good with the ball. Their goal obviously comes from a set piece, and a wonderful set piece. I don't think you can begrudge anyone of that going in. I don't think Connor can do much more, can do anything with it, really. Like, it's a special free kick, almost a carbon copy of the one from the other end that he scored against us. But it's very hard to deal with it. But I don't think they were particularly good, especially for a home showing. I thought it was very, very poor. I don't think they threatened us at all, really. And from play, anyway, I just, that might be bold to say, I just didn't really Wasn't really afraid.
I agree. I've seen a lot of people pointing towards the possession. I know people are stats mad. Like, I would look at the stats. Some stats, I think, are more, act like, tell more about a game than others. But a lot of people saying, oh, Pat's dominated possession. You can dominate possession, but not dominate the game. And that's what I felt. Like, they had the ball, but they could have had it all night. And, like, only for, as you say, that Jake Mulroney goal, ridiculous free kick. But we were so, so in control. I think we look more in control in a game like that, where the other team has it. It's like, yeah, cross as many balls into the box as you want, but Joey O'Brien's boot camp comes to fruition then on a Friday. And
but I turned around and I said this to Reggie. I was like, this is going to be really controversial. And look, you can disagree with me here, but I thought we worked the ball really well last night. And I turned to him and I was like, the recycling of possession here is incredible. Like, it's great to watch. He's like, what do you mean it's great to watch? It's horrible going backwards. I'm like, but look at how they're moving it. Like, I thought they moved, like, we moved the ball really, really well last night.
We did. And there was a particular move. It was early in the second half, I think. Like, we kept the ball for a good 20 something passes, and it looked so assured. It was confident. Now, at the same time, Pats looked lost. Didn't really know where they were meant to be. But I'd agree. And the other part of all this is that whole keeping the ball and moving it around like that, that's the way we'll play in Europe. So
that's the way every European team plays. So there's no point in not playing like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the biggest takeaway from that game was we looked in control. Yeah, all right, 96th minute can sometimes make it look like, oh, you know, they robbed it right at the end. We didn't rob it.
Hey, don't definitely say that. Not. Don't, we're not allowed to say that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get another fine, Reggie. look, Boydie scored the first one. I said the intro about, was it the most rehearsed goal you'll ever see?
It's like something out of FIFA intro, wasn't it?
You have no idea how often football teams would practice that exact move. A little slip down the side, first time cross, and a big striker with a header. It was perfect. That, for me, is one of my favourite goals I've seen in the last while. Because it's so simple. Doesn't get any more simple. Calm down as usual, driving at people, slips the perfect ball. I think it was Owen Doyle, actually, on Virgin that gave a lot of credit to Cam for the pass, because Jarvis didn't even have to break stride. He just, it was just put on a play for him. It was like, right, there you go, Will, go and whip that. And it was a perfect ball. Now, Anto Breslin on the dreamy, sleepy night, snoozy snooze at the back post, mind you. But it's a great header. Very often you see them once they get put into the ground or they get put over the bar. Great composure from Boydie, but what a goal. Perfect. The ball, the cross in was unbelievable. Too far for the goalkeeper. Right in between fullback and centre-half. Oh, it's magic.
It's striker's goal. It's a pure number nine's goal, I think. I think that's the way I'd probably describe it. Like, it's just exactly what you want from your number nine.
Yeah, but your Boydie's not a finisher, don't forget.
Dude, we've said it since Waterford. I think we've fought that corner. That is the hill that we've decided to die on, I think. And
justice for Boydie.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely been vindicated over the last few weeks. 4-4. The man finally has a chant. It's about time. Like,
yeah.
Come on now. There's some lads that get a chant after one game, and we still only just got one for Boydie. But here, it's exactly what you want. It's great to see him hitting the back of the net, and especially, you know, being consistent with it. He's had his injury trouble, so hopefully this is him out the other side, man. It is just great to see.
His overall play was brilliant as well. He was a lot better. It was back to goal. He was sticking it to his feet, just dropping it off. He was a handful in the air. It, he worked like so hard.
Everything is falling into place for him. Like, he's just, look, it might be cliche, he's kind of hitting all the right notes. He's just doing exactly what you need from him, really.
And I worried at one stage, because when I think it was just after the goal, the equaliser, and Boydie was holding his groin.
Yes,
and he went over to the touchline, and it looked like he was coming off, and you could see the conversation perfectly on Virgin that he was just like, no, no. And Duffer kind of has the arms out, which is always a tell that something dramatic is going on. And I'd be quite sure he was saying, are you sure that you can stay on here? Because I think we only had one more stoppage to make a substitute in.
Yeah.
It was, no, it wasn't after the goal. When was it? Somebody was injured, I think. I can't remember. But anyway, I don't think we had any more stoppages. And it was a real, like, you better be fucking sure about this if you're going to stay on. And yeah, he was brilliant.
Some hobbles, doesn't he? And he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was instrumental in all our good play. Somebody who I know, look, has struggled for game time, struggled to have an impact on any game, but Dean Williams' role in the build-up for the goal was brilliant. Again, so simple. Good run off the shoulder. A good decision to, what was the manager call it? A double underlap or something like that?
Double underlap, yeah.
I just kept thinking of a double underhook suplex. That's all I could think of, but even like the composure after it, and like Tyreek and Cam, I thought were, Tyreek was really good when he came on. Cam was brilliant all night again. And it just culminates in that chaos.
That is a selection headache there, if I've ever seen one, between Tyreek and Cam.
If you told me at the start after the first 5 or 6 games that JJ and Tyreek would both be on the bench, I'd be like, right, there must have been a row. It's the only possible way they couldn't be starting. But, like, again, we gave Cam a lot of credit last week. He's just been so steady anytime he's been called on.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you look at the manager, and as you've said before, if someone has a good run of form, he usually will give them the reward. And it kind of seems that way. Like, Cam is being rewarded for what he's done, and he's been incredibly consistent. He's been really good. And that's not taken away from Tariq, who has also been immense all season.
He has been brilliant. The celebration police were well and truly out on Monday. I'm reluctant to use the word now after the manager made a show of me, but a schmuzzle after the goal.
Schmuzzle, I've never heard of that word
before. Yeah, of course you haven't. What even went on? I don't know, like the TV camera didn't pick it up at all. All the TV camera picked up was the red card being shown, and I know Joey got a yellow before that as well, and I think, wasn't it Mero got a booking as well?
Any
idea what it was about?
I genuinely don't know. Like, I was over at the away end, so I didn't actually see anything. I didn't hear anything after the game. There was nothing really mentioned of it, so.
Well, in fairness, the manager's gone out of his way to, like, say it should never have been a red card. So,
yeah.
I don't think he'd come out so strongly if he didn't actually think it. But, the manager had an interesting line, actually, with Darren about, he tried to, you know, take it a bit easy on the celebrations because he didn't want to run past the opposition dugout celebrating.
Yeah.
So I don't know, is it something to do with that maybe? Or I don't know, did Pats go a bit overboard and they scored? I haven't a clue. But nevertheless, what a win. Unbelievable. Keeps us top of the league going into, oof, just a frighteningly big game on Friday, but we'll come to that shortly. We obviously got our win against Wexford on Friday. Then it was Owen Wearin's group's turn on Saturday. They went down to Wexford. Hard-earned 2-1 victory sees them qualify to the next round of the All-Ireland Cup. I mean, it's two major talking points in it. The first one is Nadine Clare's goal, Ben. Sum that one up.
Whack. As you love to say, whack. Like, it was just, the ball, she just hit the ball perfectly. There's no, like, no other way to say it.
Yeah, those smelly cameras didn't really pick it up great, but I wondered if she have a little look before. I had the keeper kind of been hanging off our line a little bit, because it definitely seemed like something that was always in our mind, the way she shaped up to hit it. An unbelievable strike. Wexford then equalised, bit of controversy, looked like a foul in the build-up, but it was a tidy enough goal in the end. And then, Ben, what were you doing when you were 16?
I wasn't stepping up to take a 92nd minute penalty, that's for sure. because I don't think I'd have the bottle to do that, to be fair. And I've no shame in saying that.
We mentioned Rebecca Devereaux a couple of weeks ago here. She is a serious, serious talent. Plays with this maturity that it's kind of hard to describe it. She's just a very, very talented player. And as you say, to have the bottle, to say, yep, I'll have that penalty, no problem. She's a goal machine at the moment. The advice I would give is get out and watch her while you can, because I don't know how much more or how much longer she'll be here, because she's an amazing talent. As I say, girls are through to the next round now, the Avenir Sports All-Ireland Cup. I believe it's the semi-finals, isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. The group winner. So, they're back to the bread and butter, I suppose you call it, this week. They're home to Cork. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. And games that previously you would have looked at and gone, yeah, you know, that'll be an L, 3 points, no problem. Just get it done and move on. We interviewed Pearl, it was probably a couple of months ago at this stage, and she name-dropped that Cork team and said, like, they are no pushovers, but it's another huge game, isn't it, chasing Galway?
Yeah, I think Galway still have the game in hand, but obviously it's a point behind, so it's one you need, like, I think you need to be looking at the 3 points, and look, Pearl, that team, like, they have the drive, the hunger is there. I don't think there's any doubt there, so I think they obviously aiming for the 3 points, and I think they'll get it. They're hitting that kind of little bit of form. It seems to be clicking now, so I think it's 3 points for the Reds, in my opinion.
Well, they're 5 wins on the bounce in all competitions. Be hopeful of keeping it up. I mean, the next 2 fixtures, it's Cork at home, then it's Treaty away, and then it's that big one, it's Galway at home. So it's a big, big few weeks. But as you say, it feels like things are starting to come together a little bit there for the group. So long may it continue. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, both teams will be top of their respective leagues. I think that would be a definite...
That sounds good.
It does, doesn't it? Real statement of intent type stuff. While we're on it, actually just a little academy update. The men's under 19s will be at 1-0 at home to Drogheda. 17s on the men's and the women's side, neither had a game, and our women's under 19s got a 4-3 win away to Piemont. As well as that, a big congratulations to the under 15s, that's the DDSL side, who won the All-Ireland over the weekend. For anyone that doesn't know, obviously there's the 15s League of Ireland side, and then there is a DDSL side aside from that one. When you're winning the top national competition outside of the National League, that is a serious statement, and the club are making huge effort with the academy and to push things on and start producing players on the regular and to be successful in that kind of area. And trust me, winning a 15s All-Ireland aside from the National League team is very, very, very impressive stuff. There's more Reds and Green this week as well. 5 of the Women's Academy players represented Ireland. We had Jenna Willoughby, Abigail Bradshaw, Sarah McCaffrey, Aoife Sheridan and Emma Gochran, all donning the green. So the kids are all right, Ben.
Yeah, look, it's the Reds are thriving. I actually made it out to that 15s game, funny enough, and they were just so good. They played really, really well. They took their goals really well, but it's such a professional setup for that level. Like, it's crazy to see, and you just think, if that's what we're bringing through, there's a bright future here. And look, there's call-ups kind of left and right. It's becoming a regular thing now. So it's just great to see the club really, really on the up.
In all areas of the club now, and as well as that, another massive well done to Josh Hennessy. He's been appointed the captain of the Ireland Down Syndrome team. He's a natural leader. He's so, so dedicated. And it's just another part. He's another member of this club that we should be very, very, very proud of. So well done, Josh. I'm sure we'll see you bouncing around Talca again for our next home game. Ben, listener questions. We got a few people on board. We asked last week for people's submissions for voice notes just around Talca and just what it meant to people. We did get a lot. I can only put a few on here because of just the time constraints, but we got a couple of written ones, and I just want to rattle through a couple of those first because some of them are just they're the stories that should be heard because they're just very typically Shelburne. So one of them is, hi lads, Sinead O'Brien here. I'm a new enough supporter of the women's team. July 3rd, 2021, the match against Piemont was my first women's match, and what an introduction it was. We had no idea what to expect coming down to Talca. We couldn't believe what we saw. It was brilliant. That last minute winner from Noel, I'll never forget it. Even though I don't know a lot of people very well, I still feel at home and always feel I could go to matches alone, no problem, on a Saturday. It's really so special. Thanks, really enjoying the podcast. That particular game was actually the first match I brought my daughter to as well. So we have that in common. We got another one again with no name on it, but my best Talca moment, the first time back in nearly 20 years. I was a season ticket holder as a kid. I'd always go with my dad, and Galway this season was my first match back, and I brought my own daughter. She loved it. The smile on her face when Shell scored is the best moment I've had at Talca. We only missed one game since. And as I say, we got a couple of voice notes in as well, so let's hear them now.
You know, if I was to give what my favourite moment would be in Talca Park, you know, it's all just the days that are in it, you know, like the full day from the start to finish, you know, finishing up at work on a Friday, heading down the bus, nipping into Kenny's or Fagan's to meet up with lads for a pint before Talca Bar opens, heading down to the Talca Bar, going around, saying hello, having the few chats to everyone that you see around the ground, like, just such a great community feel. And then when you go in and the singing and the chanting in the bar, and you fill out then to Riverside, you know, and throughout all the game, and like the people you meet down there and all the mates that you make in Talca, it's just fantastic that that's going to keep going and keep going for years and years to come. And you're going to have my kids, our kids, their kids, their kids after that. It's just fantastic to see.
Hey lads, it's Anthony. My favourite memory of Talca Park was when we beat Bowes in the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup. But recently I found out 5 months ago I'm going to be a dad, and we're going to have a girl. So bringing her to her first match in Talca Park is going to be my all-time favourite memory. And hopefully she falls in love with the club just as much as I did. Up the Shells. Hopefully we got 3 points tonight. Come on, the boys.
How are we doing, guys? My name is John O'Connor. You're asking people to send in a voice note to say something about Talca. Throughout my teenage years and 20s, I was kind of sucked into the English Premier League, but I was still an occasional visitor to Talca at the time. But I've gotten better now. I've gotten over my sickness. And over the last 8 or 9 years now, I've been a fairly regular attender at Talca. But my Talca moment as such is a lot more recent. I became a dad for the first time about 7 months ago. And just a couple of weeks ago at the ladies game, the brilliant 1-0 win over Bohemians, I brought my son to his first game and got a picture of himself and myself down behind one of the goals. And it's kind of difficult to put into words, but I just had a feeling that this was the beginning of something for him. And I hope that Talca becomes as important to him for the rest of his life. And maybe in 30 years when he's bringing his kid to their first game or whatever, and he's talking about it, he can show the kid a picture of his first game at Talca. And I think that would mean a lot more at the time if the team was still in Talca than if they were in Dalymount or whatever else. So anyway, thanks very much, guys. Love the podcast.
God, I love Talca, Ben. God, I just love Talca so much.
It really is special. Like, hearing stuff like that, it just, like, even as you were saying that, like, someone who's been a season ticket holder, they're away and now they're back with their own child. Like, it's goosebumps kind of stuff. Like, it's stuff that you love to hear. It just, it'll put a smile on your face, everyone around the club. It's, there's such a sense, great sense of family around the club, and I think it's something that's really important. Definitely, in my opinion, just a thing that within the club we look after really well. Like, you just kind of know everyone. It's a great sense of togetherness. And look, to be able to go to games and feel that and experience that with a family member, it's amazing, dude. I'm sure you know from bringing your own daughter down.
It is, and same, that's how I start going, was my own dad brought me and my brothers, and like, that's how you get hooked. Look, we did get a few messages in on Instagram as well. A lot of these are statements rather than questions. Adam Fahey just said, "Boydie again, ole ole." Absolutely, can't be.
I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sean O'Kelly said, "We played very well, but we need to learn how to kill teams off. We're always letting teams back in." I didn't feel like we were in that position at all on Monday, did you?
I think if you stick the whole team on the line, that free kick still goes in. Like, I don't think there's anything we could have done to stop that goal. And look, we gave them a bit to do in terms of chance creation. I think, like, we deserved the game. I don't think there's anything about killing it off.
No, and I was looking it up, actually. March 2023 was the last time that we lost a game from a winning position. Obviously, we've, you know, dropped points from winning positions, draws, but we haven't lost a game from a winning position since March 2023. Do you remember who it was, Ben?
No.
Dundalk away. Good old J.R. Wilson. Puts 1-0 up, if I remember correctly.
Did John Martin not play a role in that game?
A free kick, I believe, yeah. A free kick, if I remember right.
Because I remember being so annoyed signing him. Like, he's a great player, but I still won't forgive him, but he's forgiven now.
Are you in that same boat, some of those other weird folk who are saying, "Oh, we shouldn't be signing a player like that"? The tackle he put in on Brian McManus that time.
That's football. If you're not going out willing to do whatever it takes to win a game, going out and look, he's playing the game. Like, I don't think he went out with intent. I wouldn't be one to say, "Oh no, we can't do that now. Look, move on, forget about it." That's the game.
Yes, we all love John Martin. Ben Thornton said, "Great weekend for the club. Big 6 points up the Reds again." Couldn't agree more.
Yes, I agree.
Good friends at Reds Independent just put it perfectly. Biblical. Straight out of the good book.
Now that is a statement.
Yes, that is a statement I can get behind.
This is the 1895 podcast and we approve that message.
Yes, yes. Eric was on to say, with the different bodies we've used so far this season, who are the players that at this stage simply can't be left out of the starting 11? I like this question, because it has kind of, I felt it always looked like we had a pretty settled team, but at this stage now, it's like, could be a lot of changes. Who are your, well, I'll give the very, very obvious ones, I suppose. I think Connor Cairns.
Yeah.
Paddy Barrett.
Yeah.
Gavin Malloy.
Yeah, fairly easy. And
probably, I would say, Will Jarvis and Coyler.
Yeah.
So that's five. Who else for you? Like, before I would have said JJ absolutely would have been one, and Tyreek would have absolutely been one. In fairness, probably Gano.
Gano probably nailed on for me.
Yeah. So, like, who, is there anyone outside of them you can see that, you know, you can't understand why we wouldn't be starting them?
Matty Smith, for me, I think he's just, I think we're so much better with him in the team. I don't know if that's controversial or not. I think he gives you an awful lot up front. When, like, he takes the ball, he drives, he's adaptable. He'll play the 10, he'll go on the wing. He can play the 9 if he needs to. I think he just offers an awful, awful lot. And I think he was missed through injury So I think it is good to have him back, hopefully get a run of games. But I think he's one I would probably put up there. I wouldn't say completely undroppable as, you know, a Paddy Barrett or a Gavin Malloy, but he's definitely one I'd like to see in the lineup more often than not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd have Boydie would be that for me as well. Just think he gives you such a base to play off. Jeez, we've nearly gone through the whole playing team there, really, with that one, haven't we?
Yeah, everyone is great.
However, just to go with that one, I had a name on this one. Can't find the name. Sorry, but you'll know who you are. They said, can Evan Caffrey possibly be left out of the Rovers game after his recent performances?
I would say no. I don't think you could leave him out, because he just gives you an awful lot. I think, look, getting the full 90 against Waterford, big impact again against Drogheda in that game that we drew. And then last night I thought he was really, really good. I think he brings a lot of energy in midfield. I think he's one that, based on form, he would have to be in my starting 11. I don't know about you, Doody.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't play, to be totally honest. It'll probably be dependent on shape and stuff like that as well. But yeah,
it is very tricky to consider, like, who do you take out? Because you have to remember, JJ did come into that game very early, which let Evan go a little bit further forward.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, is that the perfect tree? Is Coyler maybe sitting, JJ sitting and Coyler and Caffrey in front of him? Is that
like a 2-8 kind of situation?
Yeah, but then you have to lose out one of those attacking players. So, I don't know. It could go either way. It probably depends on the approach that we go with for Friday. I can't see us going there. Like, the manager always says it. The players all say it in their interviews. We plan to win every game. We never go into a game saying, right, let's settle for a draw. So, it does probably depend. We actually got another message in about Evan Caffrey. Again, there's no name on the end of it. Please put your names on it. Mainly so when we realise that you're wrong, we can go back and slag you about it. But they said, Evan Caffrey has been such a delight this season. Last year, I thought he was not good at all. I love to complain about him, as bad as that is, but this year he's just been absolutely unreal. I'm not sure if I'm just hick and didn't realise it before, but my God, what a player he is. Seems like a great man too. Up the Reds. An awful lot of love for Evan Caffrey. Seems like every week somebody gets the love in.
Yeah. Kind of a regular thing. Maybe just make it a segment at this stage, but I think he deserves his plaudits. Like, to be fair, he's been consistent. We're just out of a kind of a hairy run of games where things maybe didn't really go our way in a lot of the games. So it's just a big positive, I think, that people are looking at. You can't look at his impact and say he doesn't deserve it, because he does. And especially after that goal yesterday, I think you look at him and you stick him on a bit of a pedestal because of it, and he deserves it. Like, he gets us the 3 points. Gives us a little bit of cushion at the top, which I think was a question you mentioned could be coming, our top situation, Doody.
Well, it's next up. Ivan Kenny says, if we win on Friday, are we finally title contenders?
It's very hard to look at it and say no, isn't it?
Well, the manager is always going to play it down, that you have to. That's just part of his job. If he was going singing from the rooftop saying, oh, we're in a leading title race,
we're going to bring that trophy back.
Well, you went there, Ben. I didn't. But we are in a title race. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's mad. Like, from a supporter point of view, it's mad to think we're not. I originally put the target down as, like, you know, see where we are by the time Europe rolls around. I kind of thought, you know, if you're still in any way in touch with Rovers come Europe, you're probably, you know, you might have a bit of a chance of pushing them. But at this stage, I say we definitely are. What say you?
yeah, I think it'd be silly not to look at it and think, like, the European teams, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're at the halfway point.
Yeah, we are.
So, like, to say at the halfway point we're not in contention, I don't know if you're blind or you're looking at the wrong table, but I think we have to be.
Yeah, I'm the same. Absolutely, 100%. There was another question. They don't actually have a name on their Instagram. It's just one of these people that just has, like, a load of letters and numbers. I don't know. Does that make them a bot? I don't think a bot had asked this question, though, but anyway. I don't know. That's for the more intelligent people than me to answer, but I don't have the question in front of me, but they basically asked, what's the story with Europe? Like, hearing loads of different kind of possibilities of who we can and can't get. Basically, you know more the day before the draw. The draw up to now has been regionalised for the first qualifying round. So, like, usually it's been Northern Europe, if you want to put it that way. So, like, Wales, Northern Ireland, the Faroes, Iceland, then a couple of kind of rogue shouts, Gibraltar, Luxembourg. You're looking at that kind of area. Now, that's not to say they don't change it or we get thrown somewhere else, but yeah, it's funny. I remember in the off-season, Ben, I went down an awful European rabbit hole, and I remember saying, like, I was texting you saying, geez, it's like nearly a year away, probably need to calm down, but it's sneaking up.
Yeah, it's weird, because at the start of the season we did the preview, and look, we did get a little bit carried away at times about Europe, because it was kind of very Europe heavy because we didn't have any games to talk about, but it really is kind of creeping up. Like, it's not too far away now, and don't want to say I'm getting excited, there's still league matches to play, we still have a lot of football to play before we even get there, but yeah, that kind of excitement is creeping in, especially with talks of draws and who we can get. I think it's big, but I think the full focus should be on the league now, up until we get to go, because you're in this position in the league, I think you have to go for it now.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Just on the European thing, me and my brother have been nerding out a little bit over the last few weeks. I should mention, 12 out of 10 score from my brother last week, Mastermind. Not bad, but he won't win anything, so there is no nepotism here.
You shafted him.
No.
Yes, you did.
No. Mastermind is back next week. It's just with these double game weeks, it's hard. People are busy with the Monday game and obviously have extra commitments to make up at home because they've missed an extra day. Being out watching the Reds. So we will be back next week with Mastermind. Don't worry about that. 8-0 still top of the table, 18 out of 20. And that's going to take some beating. But yeah, myself and my brother were talking about Europe the other day, texting back and forward. And he was saying he'd love to get Linfield. And I said, oh, no. Not up north. Doesn't feel like a proper away game. Not what I want. But he made the point, imagine Duffer up there in Windsor Park. How much hatred he'd get. It would be fairly epic to see, wouldn't it?
It'd be absolute chaos. Like, it really would.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the worst football draw either, but in terms of full European experience, it would be fairly shite, in my opinion. Richie Rankins, Ben. It's that time.
Here we go.
Mine were pretty straightforward this week. I'll dive straight in. As we know, Richie Baker is just an overall sound fella. Does good deeds, holds doors open for people. Just all around good blokes. The Richie Winter, on the other hand, ruins people's lives. So my Richie Baker for this week, it's Ian Morris. He was brilliant as a pundit for Virgin. I thought he spoke really well. He was quite unbiased, which is obviously important for that TV coverage. And as well as that, I think he's a very, very underappreciated manager. We wouldn't be in the position we're in now if Morrow hadn't been so successful when he was here. So my Richie Baker is Ian Morris, and my Richie Winter is Brian Kerr. Because, Ben, I know he's so highly thought of by the manager and stuff, and that's fine. I absolutely get all that. But he just annoys me.
No reason, he just annoys me.
He's everywhere. His mush pops up everywhere. He's like, oh, this half feud he has going on with Stephen Kenny, and then like he's saying weird stuff in his interviews about Kenny. Like, I know Stephen Kenny had said, oh, I don't think we'll be meeting up for tea or coffee anytime soon. And then when Brian Kerr was interviewed, he was like, well, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know where he's going with that one. Like, oh, what are you trying to be smart for? Just, he's in too many places. I feel like I'm constantly seeing him everywhere. Yeah, I got Turn On Virgin, and he's there. Open TikTok, he's there. News Talk, he's there. Just, should be home to slippers on, in my opinion. But Ben, give us your Richie rankings.
I think Richie Baker will have to go to Merrow Martins. Two reasons. One, getting the lads ready for the Friday, Monday. Fair play to you for that. But the most important reason is after the game, I walk over and I saw that Merrow got the yellow card on FAI Connect. I said, Merrow, the yellow, what happened? And he just turns and he goes, semantics, laugh. Okay.
Little bit of antics. Merrow's a legend. Merrow might be the first man on this pod that's gotten two Richie Bakers.
Yeah, no, he deserved it for that. Again, another bit of antics. Two-time Richie Baker winner. And Richie Winter, I'm going to have to give it to your best pal, Vinny Perth, because...
Jesus.
Yeah, rewatching the stuff, you're not wrong. He doesn't make it very watchable.
Oh. He's just... I don't know. He's saying mad stuff. Like, the board hadn't even gone up for stoppage time, and he was like, Shelburne, they had a bigger squad. They might be able to push on to win this game. And I was saying to myself, what's he talking about? The board hasn't even gone up yet. Usually, like, if the keeper has the ball in his hands and he's about to boot down the pitch for the game to finish, somebody would say that. But I don't know.
Yeah, no, watching bits back, I preferred it without the commentary in person, let's just say.
Yeah. Do you know what, actually, I have to say, I think Keith Tracy's a good old commentator. I was hoping he'd be on it, but then he probably wasn't because of the Pats leaning. But then at the same time, they had Owen Doyle in the studio, who obviously didn't get the memo about wearing a suit. But, yeah, look.
Dude, shooting from the hip again wouldn't be like you.
No, well, Virgin Media is not as shite as the other match provider, we'll put it that way. Ben, thank you as always for giving up your evening.
Jab. Dude, my pleasure, as always. You know, I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, as always. As we said, Women's Premier Division side are playing on Saturday. That's 2 p.m. kickoff. It's in Talca at home to Cork. And Damien Duff's Chargers are away in Talla Stadium on Friday night in a huge, huge title decider. Ben, thank you very much. Hello. On that note, I will let us go.
Thank you, Dudy.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.